Hello and welcome to the Unofficial Clutch Podcast Special Edition. We are talking Polar Power World Series, and we have with us today the two managers that participated in the World Series. We have James, manager of the Arizona Shade, and Ryan, manager of the Michigan Bombers. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hello, thanks for having us.
How you doing today?
Not bad, actually. Now that the season is over, I've been kind of looking back both at my team and the league in general, and it was a really, really interesting season. And that season started when we were assigned stadiums and then had to dig deep in our soul and decide on a final 25-man roster. So we'll start with you, James. You were assigned Philadelphia Stadium, and you didn't care.
So, I did not. I cared. Just not the way they thought I would.
So just quickly walk us through your roster construction and kind of talk about the one big decision you made.
So I was assigned Philadelphia Stadium, which gives the losing team's hitters plus one to their swings, which would normally call for a team built around offense and coming from behind. But I was dead set on trying a new style this season, kind of new for me and new for most organized play in clutch baseball so far, in that I went with five aces and a couple solid relievers and a lights-out closer in Trevor Hoffman, and then kind of punted all of my offense, at least in terms of on-base and some defense, and just tried to stack my lineup with as many natural home runs as I could so that I could take advantage of any mistake pitch, and then kind of built a strategy deck around that. And there were a lot of questions about, are you still going to do that with the Philadelphia effect? And yes. Are you going to start any Philadelphia starters? No. I did have one Philadelphia reliever in case it was late in the game and I wanted to negate that effect, but I really just kind of ignored my stadium effect. But it did make a big difference in a few games for my opponents, who got some pitcher's chart hits and actually won a couple games because of my home stadium. So it was a detriment and not an asset, but I overcame my stubbornness in not building around the stadium in order to do well there anyways.
Ryan, you got what is probably the most talked about stadium this year, in large part because of how you used it. You had Detroit Park.
Yeah, which adds the batter's clutch into the swing with runners in scoring position. Right from the get-go, I wanted my whole lineup, I wanted to have positive clutch to take advantage of that ability as much as I could.
And positive clutch you did have. I believe everybody in your starting lineup had at least one positive clutch. So after that excruciating decisions we all had to make, then was time for the regular season. And this year was new. We had a 20-game regular season, so you would go through your starting pitching lineup four times. James, you squeaked into the playoffs with a 12-8 record, a 20-run differential, and you were 6-4 at home and 6-4 on the road. How did your regular season go, and were there any surprises or interesting games that happened for you?
I was kind of surprised that the team even worked. The whole thing started off as kind of an experiment, and there were stretches where I thought, okay, this was a bad idea. But it kind of came together. The right people won, the right people lost. I managed to squeeze the San Diego Armada right out of the playoffs again for a second consecutive year, I believe, maybe third. The regular season was touch and go at times. The first starting pitcher I had was Pedro Martinez, who I believe was the most expensive starting pitcher in the game at that point when we built our rosters, with the exception of I think, Ohtani. And he got roughed up in two or three games. He just got rocked. And John Lester, the All-Star Game version, was my fifth starter, which was still better than most, in fact, all fifth starting pitchers. But he couldn't go deep enough for my bullpen to hold it together. So the team kind of shined in those 2, 3, 4 games, but they were roughed up in the ones and fives. Scherzer and Kluber and the All-Star Game Sale all did really, really well. But if I had to do it again, I would strengthen up the fifth spot and, I don't know, pray to the dice gods that Pedro wouldn't get roughed up again.
Yeah, he seemed to be on the receiving end of some bad luck throughout the season. Ryan, your season started a little differently. You finished with a 13-7 record. You scored 160 runs and had a plus 59 run differential. At home, you went 7-3, and on the road, you went 6-4. From the get-go, it seems like your team very clearly worked. So how early on did you think I might have a chance at making the playoffs or going deep in the playoffs? Was there a game or a stretch of games that kind of affirmed in your head, okay, yeah, this is a really good team?
Yeah, games 2 through 5. I scored double-digit runs in all 4 of those games and then won the next 2 games after that as well. I was kind of nervous after my first game. I got shut out in game 1, but after them that 4-game stretch after that, I was feeling pretty confident about my team heading into the rest of the season and into the playoffs, hoping I could keep the Strix. They were right on my tail for a while, keep them in second place. And I think the whole rest of the year, I only scored double-digit runs 2 more times. So that you know, 2 through 5 game stretch there was like a definite confidence booster.
And you actually mentioned this to me before we started recording, that I was actually the only person to beat both of you in the regular season.
Yes, you were. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Yeah, you handed me one of my biggest losses of the season.
Which is hilarious because most of my lineup had negative clutch, so I got extremely lucky that game. So the regular season finishes. Shade gets the number 3 seed. Bombers, you get the number 1 seed. And Shade, you sweep Monarchs 2-0. You won the first game 2-0. Won the second game 8-2. How are you feeling in that first series?
Well, starting with Pedro in the playoffs, I was nervous just because of his regular season, and he actually showed up then for the first round. And that made a huge difference, that 2-0 win, when you one more win to advance at that point. And the second game just came out and got a bunch of runs early and kind of didn't expect to, because the Monarchs did really, really well in the regular season. I think they had, I think it was only one more win than I did, but they seemed to be doing really, really well, and they had a really strong team. And I was carrying a really long win streak from the previous postseason, the High Heat postseason, into that, and it seems that momentum just kind of carried over and won it 2-0.
And that's interesting, because when I had Monarchs on the podcast and he was talking about how he wasn't excited for the playoffs because he didn't feel like he particularly matched up well with any of his potential playoff partners. So Michigan Bombers, you got the number 1 seed and you went up against Boston Clam Chowder. And you actually went all 3 games, the only series that went 3 games. You won the first game 3-2, lost the second game 7-6, and you won the last game 11-4.
It seems like every time I play the Clam Chowder, even going back to last year's Winter League, all of our games are really tense and really close right up until the end. And game 1 and 2 is no exception. You know, each game was decided by 1 run. And that game 3, I just happened to get some pretty good dice luck and got 11 runs on the board and to take that first round.
So you both move on to the second round. At this point, do you make any changes, or are you pretty set in your strategy deck?
Well, I had just closed out the regular season against the St. Louis Dingoes, Matt, with two games to close out the regular season. So there were only two games between those two and the series against him, the best of three series. So I didn't really change much between that because I had kind of used the strategy and lineup I changed to play him the first time at the end of the regular season to play him the second time.
What about you, Ryan? Did you make any changes going into your conference series?
Against the Neptunes, I made a couple changes to try and combat his speed team. He had pretty good pitchers as well, and I tried to include a couple more cards to help get my guys on base. I also made a lineup change after the first game. Him and I ended up going 14 innings, and I made a lineup change that didn't do too well game two, but really worked game three and four. So that was to move Cano up to my cleanup spot.
So Shade ended up sweeping the Dingoes 3-9. You won 4-3, 8-3, and 4-1. And the Bombers beat the Neptunes 3-1. You won 6-5. You lost 8-0. You won 21-6, and you won 6-3. How was that 14-inning game, and how did that affect your later games?
Well, that 14-inning game, I was thanking the stars. I put some multi-inning relievers on my team. I was able to save the bullpen for the rest of the series. That was such a long game playing time, though. 14 innings always will be, but it wasn't just a stalemate in extra innings either. I think we ended the ninth 3-3, and then each scored more runs in extra innings until I managed to get he scored to go ahead the top of the 14th, and then I scored two runs to win the game at the bottom of the 14th.
It's interesting. It seems like a lot of, because I played an extra innings game recently and had a similar thing happen where there was a couple innings where neither of us did anything, and then someone would score, and then the other person would score the next half inning. So it's interesting how that seems to happen.
Yeah, he ended up using every single reliever he had in that game too. So he didn't have any tired relievers, but he did use all his entire bullpen, which didn't matter in the end, because game two, his starter ended up going a complete game shutout, if I remember correctly.
So now both of you have made it to the World Series. Going into the World Series, how did you view your chances, James?
I don't want to say that I wasn't confident, but I will. I wasn't confident. There was almost no positive clutch on my team. There was, I believe, one hitter, the All-Star game, Salvador Perez, who had plus one clutch. Everyone else was in the negatives, and multiple players were negative three clutch. In the entire league, there was one team that scared me more than others, and that was the Michigan Bombers because of their stadium. Detroit, factoring in that clutch into every swing, is just lethal for a team like mine, which is relying on little shots like that to get runs, and relying on a pitching staff that can't afford to have plus three given to all of my opponent's swings. So on paper, it was the scariest matchup, and not only that, but him having home field advantage meant at least two games there, maybe three. And I wanted to stay positive, but I know enough about math to have a semblance of doubt going into it. But I was really excited for the games just because Ryan's such a good manager and, fun to play with, that I knew that they would be good games, they'd be tense games, they'd be close games, even if I wasn't too sure of the final result.
What about you, Ryan? How did you feel going into the series?
Well, heading into the playoffs, the two teams I was fearing the most on the in the red bracket were the Monarchs and the Shade. The Monarchs, he was Roger Maris just tearing up everything for him, and then the Shade, you know, going through the regular season, my team struggled against strong power pitching and batters with lots of natural home runs, which is pretty much what Shade had as his roster. So I was pretty nervous that he was gonna shut down my my big bats and you know, take the series.
The first game finished 7-6, and I can't say that's super surprising. Most of the playoff games were within a run or two. Ryan, you won the first game. How did that set you up going into future games?
Well, I had to open up against Pedro, who had been pitching well in the playoffs. And Pedro started, as I recall, started the game pretty solid, but then had a meltdown that let me get some runs on the board. And, you know, James was getting a ton of pitcher chart hits that game. I had Syndergaard on the mound. And it kept it close all the way to the seventh, I believe, is when my catcher hit a home run to take the lead. Winning game one, it definitely was a sigh of relief to, you know, to get that first home game with the best pitcher I had, because the rest of my pitchers definitely didn't stack up to his.
Game two ended with another Bombers win, 2-1. At this point, James, you must feel that you really don't have a shot to pull this off with your first two number one starters not quite getting it done. What were you thinking going into game three?
Well, I was not hopeful. Pedro getting roughed up on the road didn't help. Max Scherzer pitched really well in game two, but he gave up a couple of dinky little runs and nothing could break through, and I think it was a 2-1 final. And so I knew that I would have to steal one on the road to begin with to get the three. Having to win out with two games on the road in Detroit Stadium seemed impossible.
But you had a little bit of hope, because in game three you ended up winning 4-0.
Game three was awesome. Corey Kluber was lights out. I think he got like three base runners the entire game. So to steal one on the road like that was a huge, huge win, because I didn't expect to do it.
Which must have felt good going into game four. But then in game four, Bombers managed to do it, and they beat you 4-3. So yet another close game.
It was one of, if not the most tense games of clutch baseball I've ever played. And back against the wall, elimination game, clinching game for him, it was tense.
I completely agree. that was probably the most tense game I've ever played in clutch.
I mean, I'm a few runs away from forcing a game five. I'm in the lead at some points, and I'm looking to go back-to-back with World Series wins. He's looking to win his first, and at some point in the game, the human element just took over and made its presence known. And that's one of the things that makes clutch baseball so unique, is that you can play everything perfectly on paper, but in practice, sometimes you get in your own way.
James, looking back at the season, even though you've lost the World Series, looking at your roster, do you feel your team underachieved, overachieved, or did it do about as well as you kind of predicted at the start of the season?
I would say it overachieved. Given the perception of it going into the season, a team that had basically no one over 11 on base, and most of them were 10. The fact that it did so well and scored so many runs, too, was pretty amazing. It kind of proved that you can throw a lot of salary points into pitching and have it be as successful as some of the teams that throw all of their points into hitting, if not more successful, because the downfall for those is you're always working with weak pitching. And it's a very, very difficult thing to win 22 runs to 20 compared to 2 wins to 1. But every single game was stressful and tense because in so many games, one run can make all the difference. But I think it outperformed what I expected it to. There are some things I would do differently. I actually think I invested too much into my bullpen. I think I could have gotten away with just Trevor Hoffman and put those points into a stronger fifth starter. But it did really well until the last game. And, you know, that's it's probably a silly decision to invest so much into Trevor Hoffman and then not use him in the clutchest of clutch moments in a season. But, again, that's that human element.
Yeah, I think your team did slightly better than I would have guessed. I think for your type of team, the crucial aspects of it is you have to have a really good strategy deck and you have to not be afraid to use it. And I think for you as a manager, you're experienced enough that you could build a strategy deck and know when to use things, that I think it really suited you. And the other thing too with those kind of with decks and teams is you kind of got to get lucky and then you got to be ready to take advantage of that luck. And I think it showed throughout the season you were able to do that really well.
There's a lot of strategy involved, you're right, in lining things up perfectly. And it can be a bit exhausting, especially over, like, 28 games or so, I think, got played by my team this season. But I'm happy with how it went. Even though, you know, the World Series didn't end great, like, still made it to the World Series, you know, back-to-back seasons and two completely different teams. And it was fun to take a weird concept and make it successful through the strategy deck and kind of show that the game is as much what you do with what you build as it is how you build it.
Yeah, you, James, you definitely are one of the better ones at building strategy decks and pairing the cards you choose in that deck to really bring out the best in your roster.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would say the five aces meta you would have to put on your list of achievements. So we kind of talked about this throughout the season when the Generations cards are coming out too. And I think it's a perfectly good strategy. And like you said, I think there's ways you could make your team better. So it would be interesting to see you or someone else kind of take up the idea and see if they can make it just a little bit better. So, Ryan, you obviously won, so it was the exact outcome you wanted, but were you still a little surprised? You know, at what point did you think, okay, this could happen? Was it that last game, or was it making it the playoffs?
To be honest, I was kind of surprised to make the World Series. You know, Detroit Park does well, but you know, no one had really taken it to the World Series in a previous league, because generally when you invest that much into your batters, you leave your pitchers a little weak and you lose some of those close games. In terms of when I thought I had a chance to win the series, when I took game two of the World Series, I thought I had a decent chance to finish it out. I totally thought it was going to go to game five and he was going to wipe the floor of my Jordan Zimmermann. But having Michael Fulmer pitched a hell of a game in game two and somehow managed to outduel Scherzer, and I felt pretty confident after that game.
I think it's a credit to both you, because you know, as much as James revolutionized using a bunch of aces, I think you also kind of perfected maybe the use of Detroit Park. So I think that's a testament to both of you, and probably a pretty good reason why you guys both ended up in the World Series, that you took this one aspect and really leveraged it and used it to your advantage. Was there anything you would change about your roster looking back, Ryan? Was there any changes you would make in hindsight?
You know, in hindsight, I don't think I would. I know during the season, there was a few times I wish I would have invested a little bit more into my SP3 and probably SP4. My SP3 was Julio, and, you know, just he underwhelmed every time he took the mound. But, you know, in hindsight, it was able to get the job done, so I can't really complain.
All right, guys, thanks for joining me, and I look forward to playing you guys and hopefully beating you guys in the upcoming Generations set tournaments. Thanks, guys.